Hello.
Hi, Yanis. I was calling from MMA Legal.
Oh, hi. That's clear. I
Is
don't know
that?
if that was in. Yeah. I was busy. Unless.
It was
Wait a
different.
minute.
Had different headset. Sorry, I do apologise.
All right. No, that's fine. I can clearly hear you now.
I just need to remind you that calls are recorded for training and monitoring purposes.
Yeah.
And for data protection, could you please confirm your date of birth?
That's 12/7/1984.
Okay, and your postcode.
EH67AR.
Okay, so on this call today, we're going to be conducting your witness statement. Is that still okay to continue?
Yeah.
Okay, so the purpose of today's call is to take a detailed witness statement about your time in care, what happened to you and how it affected you, and what evidence may exist. I'll guide you through the questions in order. Some questions may feel difficult, but you can take a break at any time. It may need to bring us back to the timeline if we move too far ahead, just so that we can make sure your statement is clear and complete and as honest as it can be.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is 12 sections, so I'll just take you through slowly. If you need to take a break, just let me know. Okay, so are you comfortable and happy to continue today?
Yeah.
Okay. And if I do go quiet, it is just because I'm typing up your responses.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Do you need anyone with you?
No. I'm fine.
Okay. And do you need any other adjustments?
No.
Okay.
I'm just praying my son stays asleep. I stick my son down. He's only one, so.
Oh, hopefully we can get it done in time.
No,
okay. Do you understand the purpose of the statement, and agree that it may be used for your Scottish redress application and support and evidence?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll start with your personal background.
Mm-hmm.
So, where did you grow up?
Garry Park, that was when I was a child, till I was 18 or 10 years old. Garry Park, that's in Glencraig, that's in Fife.
Glencraig in Fife. Mm-hmm. Okay, and who did you live with before care?
Before care, did you see?
Yeah.
With my mum and dad and my family, my brothers and sisters.
Okay, and what was home life like before care?
I went through a pretty rough patch. See, I've been mulling over this in my head. My gran had passed, and I took that real bad. Was I like a rebel without a cause back then?
Can say whatever you want me to say.
Teenage rebellion. Just a teenager, I suppose.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad then.
Yeah.
Just being told what time to come in at.
Yeah.
My pals were a wee bit older. The year above me. See, we're going to stay later. So I wanted to be like me and say that wee bit later than that.
Yeah.
And I went through one thing. My mum and dad putting their foot down and then me putting my foot down. Just
yeah.
Typical stuff, yeah.
Okay, and what was your education like?
Education. It was alright, I could have been better.
Yeah.
I got moved skills. I think that's maybe where it went wrong.
Yeah.
I moved skills because I got a boyfriend when I was 15 and he went to another school. I like to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And pictures of my grades and that. Maybe if I didn't get put in care, I maybe would have sat them or just gone through the social workers situation. It was just a really bad time, man. Bad time. It was just a bad year.
Okay, so how did you come to enter care?
Right, I had a social worker. This was through maybe me staying out late or like no coming home when I was meant to. The police would bring me back from my pub. So anyway, I was allocated a social worker. I didn't really get on there. She wanted me to sign a, for what I remember, I would have been a supervision agreement of some sort. I was in for a certain time. No ask my mum for any money, so it was to like restrict all my kind of like privileges, so I couldn't be in with my pals or anything like that. So I ripped it up, but I didn't ever actually agree to that. And I can't quite remember. I mean, I only speak to my mum about. I mean, I spoke to my mum about getting in that, but so anyway, I got put to a panel, a children's panel in Cowden Beath, and they decided that I had to be removed
from
the home, mum and dad's care.
And it was the children's panel that decided that,
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember I only went to one, and that was my mum and dad, and that's when they said that I was getting taken off them. Getting taken care.
Okay, so you said you had siblings. How many did you have?
Three. I had an older sister. I've got an older sister, sorry. A younger brother. And a younger sister. So.
And were you separated from any of them?
Yeah. Me and my little sister used to share a room, so... Yeah, and me and my wee brother, quite close. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'm just a little bad.
It's okay, I do apologise. Do you need to take a break?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so how old were you when you first entered care?
15.
And how did you feel at the time?
Well, I got put in foster care. It was 28 miles away. So I was pretty strange. It was an older lady. She had a wee girl. I hated it because back then there was no mobiles or nothing. Didn't get to see any of my pals. My mum and dad didn't come. I can't actually remember how long I was there, but I was pretty damn adamant. I wasn't going to be there long.
Yeah.
I went into a medication. I think I was there a week or two. I took a medication at the cupboard and...
Yeah.
That was the way me acting it, so... I took it. Maybe just trying to vent. I didn't want to be there. Struggling, and I woke up to my social worker hanging on the top of me. And other than just sort of move fast through there.
Yeah.
I still find it hard to try and piece everything together.
No, of course.
I remember, so that didn't work. Obviously, then they get back home, mum and dad, no very much contact. I think my mum and dad were just basically advised, this is how we deal with it. Because I've spoke to mum and dad since then and gone, Ken, like, no, Ken, why didn't he reach out or fight for me? And it was like, we just thought that's just the way things were meant to be then, Ken.
Yeah.
When you were bad, you go fucking punished, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I got taken to I ran away quite a lot. So it was a secure unit. I didn't think if it was just a day I got put in there.
yeah.
to the town somewhere else, and there was definitely a house. There was staff in that there, and I got put in my room, but I managed to get out of that house and I ran away. The police caught me, on my back, or to wherever we were, and that's when I ended up. And what I, because I didn't know how to explain this. I thought it was a children's home. It was like 10 miles from where we lived. But now I've come to realise it was called secure accommodation.
Yeah.
And I was in there for the millennium, so it would have been. I remember looking at the window and seeing the fireworks going off, so I didn't know if I was placed there a day or two before then.
Yeah, so what we'll do is we'll go through them chronologically, and you'll get to obviously give the evidence and your own statement about each individual one. So I'm just going to bring you back to a different another question. Is there anything important about your childhood health, such as learning needs, vulnerability, that you want listed?
I mean, now I've been diagnosed with BPD. I don't know if anything back then, if there was anything back then at the most. I don't know. The only thing I do remember was my grandpa. And not taking that as well. But then I just thought, I just see it as being just childhood rebellion. I don't know.
Yeah.
I never...
Okay. So what we've got is three care placements. The first one is named Woodside Residential Unit.
Right. I think that could be the one in Crossgates.
Okay.
That's the one I was there for the millennium, and I think I got home just after my 60th birthday, so I would have been there maybe 8 months to... when I got home.
Okay. So the dates that we do have for Woodside, which was the first care setting that you were taken to, so that was when they had the emergency hearing, which is when it more than likely would have been taken to the panel. So that does appear to be the first one, and it was the police that placed you there. Is that correct?
Is it? I didn't care.
Okay.
I've actually no idea who it worked with back then. I just remember Patricia Cunningham, that was my social worker. I don't know.
Okay. And then we do have the foster placement. That was the second one.
Right.
And that was in December of 1999.
Oh, so it was in December I got put in there. Right.
The foster one, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then also Crossgates, which was the longest one that you were placed in.
Right. So the Woodside one's been in Glenorris.
Say that again, sorry.
Sorry, was the first one you said Woodside?
Woodside, yeah. Yeah.
And that, so is that in Glenorris?
I'll just have a little look now. Yeah, that's right.
Right, and they're saying that I went, the records are saying that I went there first.
Yeah.
And then
and then the foster placement.
I don't care how that is in. I cannot figure my head in that.
No, that's okay. That's just what the records show. So... I am going to ask you about each individual one. So we will start with the Woodside Residential. So do you remember that?
I remember being in a unit. It was actually a room. It was just a room. Or is it? Or was it? Because I can't even fucking remember.
No, that's, don't worry about it. You can take your time. Well, obviously, I will be able to just give you the evidence and then see if it can jog your memory. But,
Right.
so the Woodside one, do you remember roughly what age
I've
you
got to have
were?
been 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and what type of setting was it? Do you remember the building? What it looked
No,
like?
I just remember the room. It was a like a basic fucking room. I got out for my dinner, and I was aware there was one that seemed like a lassie. She was in another room, and I never seen her.
Okay.
And I could have only been there one day or 2 days. I can't remember.
Yeah, so it was only 5 days. It does state on the record, so that's probably why it's not in your recollection. So
What did it say? Sorry.
there was only 5 days, so that's probably why.
Five, oh, fucking 5 days I was there.
Yeah.
God, it felt like just one or two to me.
So I'm just gonna ask about your time there, but obviously if you can't remember.
I really can't. I just remember, God, fear, no want to be here. I can again. Man's a shrinking, it's not like that.
Okay. So do you remember if there was any routines?
No, I just mind to get out for my dinner. That was in our kitchen, the room. Aye, it was pretty basic. There was nothing there, nothing. Just a bed.
Did you get any clothing when you arrived here?
I don't think so. I don't know.
And were you allowed contact with your family?
I've no recollection of any contact.
Okay, so do you remember how the staff treated you in this placement?
None good stuck it, so I didn't care. I didn't care. I really didn't care.
Okay, no, it's no worries.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello, sorry.
Hi there. Oh, no, you're
So,
fine. I was just
no,
checking it was in my phone
it's
there.
okay. So, I know you said you can't remember, but did anything happen there that you'd now consider abuse, neglect, or harmful?
Really? No.
Okay. They are just routine questions, so don't worry if you can't
Aye.
remember them.
Oh, God. And it's actually quite scary because I don't know if this is my coping. Like things that have happened, like Now you've got me questioning because I was on adamant I was there a day or two, like throughout my life, if anything happens that I can't deal with, like so that's since I've been diagnosed, I black out.
No,
that's actually quite scary. Now you tell me I was there for 5 days, and I can't remember that.
No, it is to be expected. If something traumatic does happen like that, then it, you do tend to push it to the back of your mind. Okay, so what we'll do now is, because you can't recollect much, I'll ask you about the foster placement.
So I was put in there, and then I got put to foster care. So, Kim, what's confusing me is, when me and my dad went to that panel, and they decided that I couldn't live at home anymore, I thought I just went straight into foster care.
No, so it looks like it was a placement for a few days, and then there was, you were transferred over to the foster placement.
Right.
Okay.
So maybe I've kicked up a stink, it's because I've been out of time home. Right, that doesn't make any sense at all either.
Okay, so in regards to the foster placement, do you know where about it was?
In Anstruther.
Perfect. Okay, and do you know how old you was when you got placed there?
15.
Okay. Okay, so what type of setting was it?
It was an older lady, and she was with an early baby. Her name is Demi. The woman, I wouldn't want to say she was nice. She was just... So, I didn't kind of... But she wasn't, like, horrible. She didn't roar and that. She was just felt real uncomfortable being around.
Yeah.
I just paid me to try to pay attention to this because this wee baby, she was like two. Just trying to keep my head busy. I spent a lot of time with her when I had to dance and that. I can't even remember her name. I can't even remember Ben's name, Demi, mind her. But the wife's name, to me, she didn't pay any attention to Demi.
Yeah.
And then again, I just didn't want to be there.
Okay.
I can't ever remember getting to phone my mum or that. I snuck in once and she caught me. Trying to phone my pals. Because I wasn't allowed, in my head, I think back then, I wasn't allowed any contact with them. I think I'd been severed off to the world. Like, I had, so I'm trying to claw back something that felt hating me. And I got caught.
So that was you snuck and tried to phone your pals, but she caught
just take the phone off me and put the phone down.
Okay, so how long were you in the foster placement?
Maybe you've shot me that. I don't know. It could have been a week. It could have been two. I really didn't care.
Okay.
I've not got a rough idea. I went there, so I thought there was a place for her to see December. I got home for a Christmas visit to my mum and dad's. And I was in foster care. I mind you that as much. And I just felt like a total outsider. I think that's when things just felt like I didn't have a family anymore.
Yeah.
And I was good to see my siblings and that, and I think mum and dad just didn't care how to deal with it.
Yeah.
continually asking questions. It wasn't good.
Okay, so in the foster placement, what was daily life like? If you can remember. So what was your routine?
Apart from getting up and playing with the wee foster bear and Demi, not much. Can I even remember going out for a walk? I think I met our son. We went out a walk one day and met our older son. I remember that. And come on, of course, it's been weird. But apart from that, no, I can't really remember much.
Okay, so was you given any schoolwork or did you attend any school?
No.
And were you given clothes when you arrived at this placement?
Then again, I can't remember. I didn't care if, when I remember my social worker being there, I don't know if she's went and got clothes from my mum and dad's. I don't know. I really can't remember.
Okay, so we have that the foster carer was called Diane. So do you remember how she treated you? And how was she with you when you first arrived?
She was like, I would just say she just looked like a crab old wife to me, for what I remember. Was she friendly or not? I don't know. I didn't care if I was. I can't mind her being like horrible or like getting me or nasty or anything like that. She was just.
Okay. So were there any rules or punishments?
Well, when she didn't let me phone my pals and put the phone down, that was the first. Well, you just didn't. Well, I didn't care. I sort of got that feeling. I wasn't allowed to do much. But then the go, as I say, I mean, I wasn't introduced to anybody apart from this wee bairn that was there, Demi. So I spent quite a lot of time with her in the living room.
Yeah.
Had her up. What did I hear? Or did it come on the radio? Because I always remember dancing. Because she could hardly walk this wee bairn. And just getting her to wave her hands. It must have been a song that come on the radio or something. Kind of my castle. And that just stuck out as maybe the happiest memory that I've got for there.
Yeah.
I've got out of that experience.
Okay, so in this placement, did anything happen that you now consider abuse? So, there are different types of abuse that Scottish Redress would categorise. So neglect would be one of them. So inadequate or withheld food, withheld clothing, unsafe confinement. So was there anything that happened that you consider now as abuse? It can be emotional. So this can be threats, humiliation, name calling, denial of family contact, being made to feel powerless.
Maybe they feel powerless. As I say, the only thing that stuck out was the no-no, and that was when she caught me on the phone.
Yeah, okay.
So I reached it to my pals.
Yeah. And then this was the foster carer.
Mm.
Who else was involved?
Sorry?
Who else was involved?
Who else was involved? The foster care.
Okay.
No, sorry, what I didn't understand what you said there.
So in the event of she caught you trying to call people, was it only you two involved?
Yeah. Yeah, she was in her bed, I think, and I was snuck in the stair, and I had to hide behind a chair where her phone was, kind of, it was an actual telephone.
Mm-hmm.
I snuck it down, and I hid behind the chair, and she's heard me and come down and put the phone off me.
Mm-hmm.
Taken the phone off, hung up and put it back. Basically, I was told to get back up to your room.
Okay.
And I'd be calling my pals.
Okay, and what immediate effects did you experience, such as pain, fear, shame, any sleep problems, as a result of this?
Oh, the fact that I'm with a stranger, I was with a stranger, there was obviously fear there. I don't know how to explain it.
Okay.
Being in somebody's house, it's New Year's.
Okay.
The best fear, that's probably I ran away. I did run away. I think I got brought back to her house. And then I can't even remember when I taken her medication because I just wanted fucking out of there. I don't like it. I don't want to be there.
And did anyone else witness this?
No, it was just, well, with Amy, she was only two. She would have been up in her bed.
Okay. So did you tell anyone or try to get help?
No.
And when you ran away, was you able to contact anyone or see anyone?
And I ran away.
Yeah.
I ran away to my friends because there was no contact with my dad. I thought they just like abandoned me. I just didn't want to be there, so I went to stay at my friend's house.
Okay. And did you inform your friends of this? What had happened?
That was her I was on the phone then.
Yeah. Okay.
She kind of got cut off.
Okay, so if you can explain what was different at this placement compared to the previous one.
It was an actual house. We live in people. Because from what I remember, it was like sort of fucking, whatever it's called. I was alone in that other setting.
Yeah.
Nobody spoke to me. That's the only difference with the place. Although there was living people in the foster house, that was...
Like you were in solitary.
Mm.
Okay. So, are you okay to continue?
Yeah.
Okay. So, next we'll talk about Crossgates.
Mm-hmm.
So do you remember what type of setting it was?
This was it. So it was it looked like a house. And I know it because it was on a bus route from where I used to live.
Yeah.
You would have to go through there to get to Dunfermline High Street, kind of like the nearest high street.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like 30 minutes away from where I lived in the car drive. 30 minutes. And so it was a building and it had,
yep.
I think, so it had a family room,
mm-hmm.
to the right, it had a long corridor, it was red carpets, and then there was an office at the end. This is where the staff were, this is when they introduced themselves, so there was day staff and night shift staff.
So there was day shift and night shift staff.
Yeah.
Shift and... Okay. And do you know roughly how long you were there?
I had to get... Well... I was there probably till... I mind to hear my 16th birthday. And then I officially got signed off. And it, so maybe if I'm July, so that would have maybe been 7-8 months.
Okay. Okay, so just in a few sentences, what was the ordinary daily life like there? So what was the accommodation like?
You had your room. There was four rooms. There was Tommy and Katie. I can't remember their boy's name. There.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't allowed in each other's rooms. That was the first no-go policy. So Katie, she was across the room from me.
Mm-hmm.
You had to, like, eat your dinners. At the same time, there was a big kitchen chef. Light suit, doors locked, I think, for... Oh, God, I can't even remember the time. I think that's how when the night shift staff would come on.
Yeah. And was there a certain routine that you had to follow?
Apart from getting up, you if you started to lie in your bed, your door would get banged. Or Katie or whoever else that was up. So maybe we'd go to the back. We'd get their fag. You were allowed 5 fags a day. I remember that clearly. So a lot of smoke if you smoked.
If you could smoke, you'd smoke.
Yeah, you're allowed 5 cigarettes a day.
Okay. Okay, and what was the food like?
Shit. I mean, there was one last one, Mo, she was good. She would interact with us a wee bit more, and no treat us, Ken, because she wasn't a caseworker, she was just somebody that come in to cook.
Okay.
If she was on, she would let me and Katie make a cheesecake. But the rest of the time, I think she was only on once a week. That was shit.
Okay. And in this placement, was you provided with any clothing?
Provided with clothing. No, I can't imagine how the system worked out. So, I mean, to start with, all I can remember is just saying, Kay, be good. Be good, and Ken, you'll get him. Or just behave, and Ken, there was, like, rewards you would get.
Yeah.
Ken, like, an allowance of some sort. I'm trying to remember. Because I remember my hair was buggered, or it just didn't look right. I think I actually cut my hair, so I had to go in the nearest place. Where did I go? There was a wee hairdresser's in Asda's.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a hairdresser's in Asda's? So I minded keep this allowance going,
yeah.
And saving to get my hair fixed because I cut my hair. Cut my hair. That's a fucking bad Barbie doll.
So you cut your hair and you had an allowance, and then you went to the hairdresser.
I went and got it fixed, aye.
Okay. And how much allowance would you get?
I can't even remember.
Okay.
I honestly can't remember.
No, that's no worries. Okay, so in this care setting, do you remember how the staff treated you and the other children?
They used to, I can remember it sitting, they used to upset Katie really much. Me, myself, like if I didn't stick to rules, the buses were only 20 pence, but then they would. Like I can remember at the start because I was like, this is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Like my mum and dad got to rents that this was the first of me seeing mum and dad for that one visit I had to them at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only for an hour a week. And what I remember straight away was the family room. And it was just a fucking a bare room.
Yeah.
Chairs in it. Sitting. My wee sister didn't like it at all. I mean, they had greeting and that. And I'm obviously frustrated. And
yeah.
I remember that, sitting it. And that only happened a couple of times. And then it was a case of just knuckled in.
Yeah.
And I'll try and build up to get overnights home.
Yeah. Okay, so was there any punishments there, or was there any isolation that you can remember?
The punishment was that they withheld my visits to my parents. I remember that as much. That was a punishment.
Okay.
And
did you say the parent visits were once a week?
Aye, for an hour.
Okay.
That's probably because I was no good to start with.
Okay, so did anything happen in this care setting that you would now consider abuse? So abuse falls under either neglect, emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. So physical abuse falls under hitting, slapping, punching, kicking.
No.
Emotional would be obviously being made to feel powerless, denial of family contact, humiliation.
Well, that's the nail on the head there. If anything, it was just denying me.
Say that again, sorry.
If emotional abuse comes under them using my family to try to control me, that. And if me and Katie were standing outside, we would get roared at, like really roared at, kind of night staff and they're slinging their keys and that, so they could get us in a room, pick her up and just lock us up. Kind of,
yeah.
We just want to talk outside the room, even if I poke my head in to see what she's got.
Yeah.
And just stuff like that.
Yeah.
That was pretty strict.
Okay.
And then the humiliation bit would be at a table. Like, if I needed a peer that through the night, once I had an upset tummy, then you have to look, okay, chop him up, and then they let you into the toilet and that, and then stand. It was just.
Okay. And you'd have to shout them, did you say?
Yeah, you'd have to bang, knock on the door. Try not to wake, consider it to your wee pals that are across the hall. If they wouldn't say, you were trying not to shout or that. So basically, it was empty your bladder if he didn't. I mind that just that one night I had a real upset tummy and that, and they were all downstairs and laughing at there, so I had to kind of get a big bang in that.
Okay. Okay, so who was involved in this and responsible for the way you were treated?
and who would have been involved. I can't remember these. All I remember was Dean sitting there, and it was maybe a Margaret. I can't remember. Margaret would shout, and Dean.
Okay.
Was one. It was on her night stuff. I can't mind.
So was Margaret the night stuff or the day stuff?
No, you get confusing because there was two with Margaret, I think.
Okay.
So one had blonde hair. And then her wee wifey, she had dark hair and that.
Okay.
So...
Okay, and how often did this happen? That you were obviously locked in the room and not allowed to use or had to wake them up to go to the toilet?
How much times were locked in the room? Oh no, the doors were you were locked in your room every night.
Okay. Okay, and did you suffer with any immediate effects from this, such as sleep problems, bedwetting, pain, fear, any behavioural or school changes?
I want to say I just sort of adapted to it. I remember I didn't sleep right for ages, but then you just have to adapt.
Okay.
That's what I remember, I just adapt and get home. I just adapt and get out.
Okay. And did anyone witness this or know about it?
Katie would have, but I didn't care. I don't even think she's still alive. I don't think if she's alive or dead.
Okay. Did you tell anyone about this or try to get help?
No.
Okay, and what was different at this placement compared to the others?
That was Mayor's institution setting. That's the only way I can put it.
Like, did this make you feel different compared to the other ones?
Oh, I just knew it was. This was the last. I was there. That was it. It didn't matter if I ran away or not. I just knew I was there. There was no escapement.
Okay, so I'm just going to go back to the previous question. On the family visits, did you tell your parents about what was happening? And how you were treated?
Well, I think they just, I probably would have. I minded my wee sister not getting upset.
Okay.
I was frustrated, so I broke her fur being that. And I only remember a couple of visits from my family, and I think they just sort of left it down to me. If you want to get home, Kay, you have to behave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like it was too stressful for theirs.
Okay. So we'll ask about all of the placements now. So across all the placements,
mm-hmm.
Who were the main people responsible for the way you were treated?
Who was I mean? People responsible. Do you mean my care workers?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Aye. My care worker would have been. Her name was Julie. She's the one that was assigned to me. There was her and an air wife. Julie, she was early 20s.
Okay.
And
And how was she with you?
She was actually all right.
Okay.
She was actually. I mean, they couldn't control how I was, or as I say, I mean, I hadn't used that to the situation. She was fine.
Okay.
When I say she was fine, I didn't care what the protocol was. I just went with what it was. Can you run away? You're going to get to see a family. I bet you can.
Okay, so across all the placements that we've spoken about, so were the other children affected? And did you witness abuse or harm to anybody else?
No. Apart from Katie getting in that, she had a different worker for me. She was always upset at the time, but then I didn't ken any circumstances if it was her family that was upsetting her, if it was them that was upsetting her, I don't know. I mean, she was a bit a releaser like me, like cut my hair off or kind of self harm and stuff like that. So, I mean,
yeah.
What got on? We all got on, but community, how we managed to get along, I think we just supported each other.
Okay, so why do you believe the staff or the institution knew, should have known what was happening?
Sorry, going to that again.
So why do you believe the staff knew what was happening?
What do you mean, what was happening?
So like how you were being treated?
Well, I think so. I don't again.
Okay.
I've never thought about that way.
Okay, so in these placements, were complaints discouraged, either ignored or punished? So if you made a complaint about the way you were treated?
I'm trying to remember. I had quite a lot of sit-downs.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
For complaining or morning, did it get dealt with? Everything just ran as it did. I can't remember. Nothing changed. I think the more good you were, the easier it got. Can there were more like knowing that you like you're a fucking bad burn, I didn't ken. I just ken it just got easier. So maybe sort of got yourself in check.
Okay. So have you ever reported the abuse to police?
Nah, the police, I hate the police. I think the police done me more damage than anything.
Have you ever reported to another professional or any other authority?
No. Sorry, I didn't care what I'm saying. Not to. I can't
no,
remember
okay.
My head just started racing there.
It's okay. Okay, so we'll talk about your movement between placements. So why did you move between placements, and were the reasons explained?
I can't remember them being explained. I just knew it running away or trying to take my life had been in foster care. I just didn't want to be there. It was just, this is the consequences. This is what's next. So I sort of knew that's when I was there. This was either get a grip key or I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so one of the questions are, did you run away, refuse to return, or ask to be moved? But obviously you have mentioned that.
Yeah.
Okay, if you wouldn't mind, would you like to go over what happens once you run away?
When I ran away, I always got caught. I can't remember how I got caught, but the police always found me.
Okay. So, at what age did you leave care?
I think it was just after my 16th birthday.
Okay, and what were your circumstances afterwards?
I went back to mum and dad.
Okay. And did things improve?
I think at that point I'd learned that on the line, how much, kind of like there was loads of the day, like talks there, kind of like how, what my behaviour was doing to affect, kind of how I was, and that's how I ended up there. And
yeah.
But none was the same when I got home. That.
Okay.
Just meaning my family, how my unit, how I felt like a family was, I just returned and I felt like a sort of sense that I didn't belong.
Okay. Okay, so across your placements and your experience there, how did the experience affect you at the time? So that can be your trust, your confidence, your behaviour, your sleep.
How did that my overall experience, everything?
Yeah.
Is that what you did there, no?
Yeah.
I've carried it all my life, yeah, so... I felt like my mum and dad abandoned me. I've carried that. I've managed to shrug that off now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shrug it off, but I learned to live it because I was angry for so many years.
Yeah.
My life's been absolutely fucking hectic. I can't trust.
So at the time, did you feel the same at the time that you were in the placements?
At the time when I was in the placements, I think I was just expecting to get home. I don't know. I think probably what happened with there is I didn't trust anybody. I didn't even trust anybody when I was in there. I only deal with myself.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
Did it have an effect on how you slept at night? Were your certain behaviours because of the effect on it?
Well, yeah, I struggled to sleep. I didn't feel right at home. When I went home, I was just... I got the sense that when I got home, I went for one night a week to two nights, to you building it up. When I got home, I just sort of conditioned, but when I'm hinting about the route, it was just all uplifting and I just tippled my head and my feelings. I didn't know again. I had to process them, and I'm still writing it, didn't I?
Yeah. Okay, so how has it affected your mental health? So do you suffer from anxiety or depression?
Up to 10 years ago, I just thought I was an angry kid. just bad luck, bad things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing I can do about them because it's me. And if I can't fix, if it's me to get myself in these situations, it's me, it's to blame. So I've sort of mirrored, I've magnetized wrong people, or it's brought a lot of trust issues into my relationships. I can't rely on anybody, it's me, I have to deal with everything. So that's been three relationships. So I've got four kids, two different dads. And up until I got diagnosed about 10 years ago with BPD.
How long ago was that, sorry?
About 10 years ago.
Okay. With BPD?
Yeah.
Okay, do you have any flashbacks or nightmares about the first time in your life?
I still had odd flashbacks. And I think... I can't help answer this. I think the chain of events for getting away from mum and dad just led to absolute carnage. So there's loads of worse mares that's happened since that time.
Yeah.
It's actually I can't help explain it.
No, it's okay. Take your time if you need to just process it a little bit. There's worse events that happened because of the chain of events earlier on in your life. Okay, now it's
time for the
subject.
I just got lost there in my head.
No, it's okay.
How would I start?
So if you have any self-harm or suicidal thoughts, I do apologise for asking.
Well, the first time I started self-harming was when I was in that home.
Okay. Was anyone aware of this?
I had done pretty well. I don't know. I didn't care if anything's been not even. I'm going to think about it that way. I think you just sort of had your emotions. I think I had my emotions. Everything how I was feeling, that was the only way I could express myself.
Okay.
Well, that's physical. I didn't care. Like, obviously, I try to take my life, taking her medication and that's different. But, I mean, the not being able to stand like myself in the mirror, it's never left me thinking that I could have done things different. I don't know.
Okay. Okay, so how has it affected your physical health? So this can be alcohol or substance use.
I drank a lot. I was sort of like my mum describes it as a concrete, because once it was there and done with, I was pretty quite emotionless. I would keep my emotions deep. I think I learned to guard myself
Yeah.
and only way to do that was either drink myself into oblivion and write cars off. My life is totally unmanageable. My anger, it could be pretty explosive.
Yeah.
And then I eventually just had to, my life, it just become unmanageable. And then I had to go to the doctor. I think it was in my 30s.
Okay. So how has this impacted your relationships, either parenting, friendships, intimacy, and trust?
Trust is a big enemy. I'm trying to make that up. I'm pretty secluded. I don't know. I've just sort of lived my life just me. I've not got. I don't know. I don't socialise. I don't go out. I sort of brought. I struggled to. I've definitely just struggled with relationships and thinking that they're just going to fail. I reckon that's been my feeling for just nothing being the same. As a, for being a mum, I've tried to be the best mum that I can be. And there, I mean, I was 19 when I had my oldest. I've only had one job. I couldn't even keep that, and that's just been a spiral. No, it's just been.
Okay. So I do apologize for the silences, and I am just
I know
typing
you're fine. I can hear you type my way.
up. Okay, you said that you've only had one job and you were unable to keep it.
Aye. I came when she was three.
What was that, sorry?
Sorry, my daughter, she was three.
Okay.
My eldest. I worked in Asda's. And then it's like the authority thing kicks in. Because when I think about it, I could have done the probably job, but then, like, if the managers and that were, oh, God, I don't even can I explain it, if it sounds fucking stupid.
No, of course. Whatever you need to say.
No, I just, no, I couldn't continuously be at that job. If I was feeling down or whatever, you could only get so much sick lines anyway when you get sick.
Yeah. I only get so much sick leave, was that?
Yes, like sick notes can like go all the
Yeah.
time and then you just get sacked. So I tried, that's when I noticed that my life just, as much as I wanted it to be, I just kind of control my emotions and stability in my life. That was it.
Okay, so are there any triggers places or smells or situations that you avoid?
Cheesecake. Well, I like cheesecake then. definitely avoid family gatherings. I can't face them because I sort of like what doing on when I got back home.
Yeah.
So like I was the rebel. I was an outsider. I was the one that got taken away and locked up.
Yeah.
I went to one funeral and it was my dad's, and I didn't deal with it. It's family now.
Is there any authority figures or institutions that you avoid either?
Go and say that again.
So is there any certain institutions or authority figures that you avoid?
That I avoid?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. As much as I'm about to see the police, it's no harmed. the cost of life. I don't think I understand that question.
No, that's no worries. Okay, so your time in the care settings overall, what impact has this had on your life? In your own words.
Try to find somewhere I feel safe. I don't know.
Okay.
Somewhere that's safe, it's mine. I reckon. I still struggle with that, you know?
Yeah. And what do you think may have been different if it had not happened?
I like to think that if my bet was dealt differently, without getting just taken away from mum and dad, I don't know if my social worker, if she could have went down different routes, and maybe I would have just calmed down. I was just going through, I was grieving my gran.
Yeah.
If things maybe would have went different, maybe I wouldn't have been fucking traumatised.
Yeah.
And acted out. My life maybe would have been different.
Yeah.
A million percent would have been different. I don't care where I'm saying. Maybe it's just because it's a double-edged sword. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really didn't care, but I'd like to think I would have, because now I'm older and I've got nieces that are 15.
Yeah.
And I see how they are now. Obviously, things are completely different. They get a wee bit more leeway. But can I think it could have been worked out and worked out a lot different. And then I wouldn't have been traumatised. And then it's led to me hiding all these fucking the feelings when I got home and then drinking and just try to keep myself all right. Not like talk about it. I think it's, you just block it out. You just think you're home. Nobody mentions it. And I'm the one that's been carrying that.
Yeah.
And
would you like to take a break or are you okay to continue?
No, I'm fine. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so the next section is regarding support. So, have you received counselling, therapy, mental health addiction, GP or hospitals in regards to?
I've been thinking about this a lot for contact teachers, and I quite couldn't understand when I was going through my psychiatric evaluation. That's how they got my diagnosis. For childhood trauma. And I'm going, because I'm hitting my mum and dad being bad to me. And I'm going, nah, there was nothing like that. I said, can I be just normal, Ken? Hey, but I never mentioned any of that. It was just what was there in front of me in my life. It was an absolute mess, which I maybe should have mentioned then.
Did you say you had received any counselling for it?
No, I didn't. Because I didn't deal with people great. I didn't want to do the talking therapy.
Yeah.
So I just got put on tablets.
And do you know what the medication was?
I'm still on it just now. Quetiapine. Mirtazapine. And fluoxetine.
Okay. Are you receiving any support now?
No.
Have you delayed seeking the help? Such as you said, it was only just 10 years ago that you got diagnosed with it. What made it difficult to seek the help?
Well, you just put it into behavioural. I didn't care. It wasn't my mum and that was pushing me. I had a wee cleaner's job and that didn't last long. I was back and forth. I tried to be independent. Mum was like, my dad said some one thing, you're just missing your vitamins. And then that made me sort of think, and I'm going, Ken, this is people pointing out my behaviour is absolutely fucking out of control. So you go, and I went to the GP.
Okay.
I then got my psychiatrist.
Okay, so have you made previously any civil claim, criminal injuries claim, or redress applications?
No.
About this abuse now?
No, not.
Okay. Have you ever received any payments or apologies in regards to this abuse?
No.
Or signed any waivers?
No.
Okay. Okay, the next section is your reason for applying. So, why are you applying for the Scottish Redress Scheme? So, what would you like to come from telling your story?
Because I didn't understand it to start with. When I read what it was about, because you just take what's coming to you back then, I feel it was unjust. There could have been loads of different fucking worries. The government or the social work could have dealt with things different.
Yeah.
I don't know again.
And what would the acknowledgement mean to you?
What would the acknowledgement mean to me? Well, it would be great if they say, well, hi, we know we're fucked up. Okay, are you right, you fucking up? Sorry.
No, don't apologise. Could you just repeat that for me, though, please?
I'd love it if they said that we'd got things wrong. We could have done things differently.
Yeah. Anything else that you want Redress Scotland to understand about what happened or the harm that you've lived with?
No, the harm that I've lived with, well, I don't care what sort of person I would have been right now, not looking at myself in the mirror with scared for heat to fit.
Yeah.
If maybe, I don't care, maybe if it wasn't traumatic, just I'm whisking me away from my family, I'd maybe be able to deal with my emotions better, and I'd be a different person right now. I'm dealing with me and how I'm feeling right now. I feel like I'm boiling kettle. Can't make somebody and break them. They've made me the person that I'm right now, and I'm just, I don't even care who the fuck I am.
Yeah. Okay, so is there anything important that we haven't covered or any wording that you want handled carefully?
I don't know, because I'm still... I don't know if this is just from my point of view.
No, it's all
I
don't
think if we were right to just go to that. Could you go back? Can I remember you saying that it was an emergency panel or something they had?
An emergency hearing was held, yeah.
It was and was that the one I was present at?
I'll have a little look now just to see whether you were.
Because I can only remember being at one children's hearing. I'm just glad that the day hangs different now.
Yeah.
What I mean.
And is there anything else you want to add to that? Just so that I can make sure that everything
I mean, I've wrote loads of stupid stuff down, like everything I could remember.
Yeah.
Can I learn to behave? I got myself into this mess. I had to fight to get home. That broke my trust. I'm just reading what I just wrote down.
No, that's fine.
Took her meds. Ken, if you can't see you're in pain there, and my mum and that wasn't even, I don't know, Ken. Oh, God. I think that's me done.
Do you feel that we've covered everything today?
I think so.
Okay, so how are you feeling after discussing this?
Not very good. I'm finding myself, I've got a hot flush, my hands are shaking. So flooded with anxiety.
Do you need to take a minute?
No.
Okay.
No. I'll get, no, I'm not, sorry, I just, cause I can hear my son crying, I'm just, you know, I just...
No, it's okay, we're nearly done now anyway. Do you feel safe to end the call?
Yeah. Safe?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
And is there someone you can contact for support?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so have the next steps been explained?
Mm-hmm. Sorry?
Have the next steps been explained?
No, really. No, I can't. It gets picked up for these days, brought up, and it goes to panel or something.
Yeah, so once we've done the statement, I have to write it up. It's then got to be reviewed. You will then also need to video call with a solicitor and confirm your ID. So you'll just need to hold your ID up to your face and just confirm that it's you.
Right.
And then we can send the... application off to Redress Scotland, but also
sorry, 2 seconds, I'm just cutting the connection.
Video call be arranged with the claims manager and the solicitor just to confirm the item. Okay, so I can let you go now if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. That's brilliant. Thank you.
Okay, are you okay now?
Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks for your time today.
Bye.
Bye-bye.